Coach P's perspective.
Serve God, work hard, family coaching, play my part. Faith is something that I use every day, game changing moves. Sit back, relax, and listen. Inspiration is my mission. Twitch, got your back, Coach 96. We do got your back. PCO be in my brain, CSL is in my veins. Ain't no stopping or no blocking. Heaven's where I aim. In order to succeed, we cannot be lazy. Repping Jesus all the time, and yeah, we're going crazy.
Hey fam and friends, hey, welcome to Coach P's Perspective, where coaching, inspiration, and faith collide. This is your host, Coach Chad Parks, and thank you for joining me today. I'm a college All-American wrestler, coach, and the author of the best-selling book, Game Changing Moves. This background has allowed me to train elite athletes, coaches, and high performers from all walks of life. So if you need a pick-me-up, a kick in the pants, or a coach in your corner, I got you right here on Coach P's Perspective. Let's go. This episode of Coach P's Perspective is brought to you by Manscaped, the world champion in men's grooming, the best in men's grooming. For me, I've always believed as an athlete and as a coach, if you look good, you feel good, you're going to perform good. So I like to turn to Manscaped products. I use their shampoo, body wash, deodorant, lip balm, cologne. You name it, they pretty much have it, right? World-class trimmers. And one of the things I love about Manscaped is this. Whenever we're looking at their grooming products, they are paraben-free, cruelty-free, dye-free. If I'm going to put it on my body, I want to make sure it's healthy and I want to make sure I smell good, right? So if you or someone you know wants to stay fresh, smell fresh, you want to walk out there with confidence, make sure that you go to manscaped.com, check out their products. And you can get a 20% discount right now using the code COACHP20. That is COACHP20. The world champions, the best in men's grooming, Manscaped. All right, hey, welcome to another episode of Coach P's Perspective. I'm pumped. I have an elite wrestler and elite coach on here, Coach Joe Betterman, who was one of our top Greco wrestlers in the nation, multi-time national champion, was part of the Army Elite Wrestling Program, which is a phenomenal program. He is the owner of Betterman Elite Wrestling Club, just putting out champions, and then he is the owner of Gold Medal Gear, and we're going to talk about all those things, but Joe, thanks for being on. I appreciate it.
Oh, I'd love to be on here. It's awesome. Thank you for having me, and super humbled, you know, to be able to come on here and talk with you.
Yes, sir. So, well, let's do this. Tell us about your background and where you grew up, how you got into wrestling, and if you did any other sports growing up too. You know, it's always good to mention.
Well, I didn't start wrestling till high school. So I played basketball and baseball growing up. I thought I was gonna be in the NBA. And then I just stopped growing. You know, I should have known that when I look at my mom and she's 5'1", and now I'm 5'3". So it didn't, you know, it wasn't in the cards for me. But I started wrestling my freshman year in high school and didn't win a match. I'm from Chicago, inner city. My coach said, hey, you need to do freestyle and Greco. And then I said, okay. And I started doing that and made the Fargo team my freshman year. Nobody was at my weight. I was at 83.5 pounds. Lost in the blood rounds, and then little by little, I was like, man, I'm not training for state, I'm training for Fargo. And so I just started putting more time into freestyle and Greco and training year round. And eventually my senior year, I took 6th in state in Illinois. And then it was only 2A back then, 1A and 2A, and we were double A. And then I was 5th at Fargo my junior year in high school. Ended up going to Northern Michigan. You know, I got a full ride offer from Ivan Ivanov, and then didn't score a point in the room for 6 months. And then after that, you know, I'd ask Yvonne every day, can you work with me every day? And he would. And then I won the junior nationals, made the world team, and, you know, second at universities that first year. And then little by little, just start climbing the ladder. And, you know, I end up winning 8 national titles, you know, 4 at the senior level and 2 junior to university, and won the Olympic trials and made 2 world teams. So I can't complain for the senior worlds, but, you know, it's been a ride.
Yeah, it's amazing you started wrestling as a freshman and did all that. You know, this is a sport where I've had a couple guys come through my program that we got them out as freshmen. One kid ended up being a 4-time placer, had over 100 wins in high school. Another kid, 3-time placer. But those guys were rare, you know, to be able to do that. So starting so late and then going on and being a multi-time national champion, one of the best wrestlers in the world, is just – it's crazy. Let's talk real quick about, you know, going – to college and doing Greco, right? Because that's a route that a lot of people maybe don't even know exists, or that they haven't explored. So what led you to go that route?
You know, after I placed at Fargo my junior year, I was top 10 in freestyle every year. I lost in the blood rounds every year. I placed in Greco my junior year. I had a lot of letters for colleges. I think it was like 300 letters my senior year. And I was going to go wrestle D3 at this Division III school, Whitewater, Wisconsin. My coach was an Olympian for Puerto Rico, Carmelo Flores. He actually went to that school too, was a two-time All-American. I was like, I'm just going to follow that route and do that. And his old coach was there. And then all of a sudden I was at Fargo, and Yvonne came up to me. And I had just lost in the blood rounds. And he had been watching me wrestle. And he said, I could teach you all the technique in the world, but I can't teach you to be aggressive. He's like, you're a very aggressive wrestler. I'll offer you a full ride scholarship. And that was it. You know, the rest was history. In my head, I was like, well, I can go and be an NCAA champ at D3, which would be awesome. But those are a dime a dozen, even at Division I, you know, they happen every single year. Or I said, I could go and put it all in this and take a gamble and try to be an Olympic champ, be an Olympian, an Olympic champ, and I'll be remembered in history long, you know, like, you know, I'll be a legend kind of thing, you know? So I was like, well, I want to go after this one, the one that's the harder route. And, you know, it was fun. It was a great time. And I was very fortunate to get that offer.
Yeah, excellent offer. And then, you know, like you said, you walked in and don't score a point for 6 months. How do you get yourself? Because, you know, let me back up real quick. A lot of times you get kids that are, and we're fortunate, you know, we send quite a few guys to wrestle in college, and a lot of my coaching staff wrestled in college. And we could all tell you, when you very first go to college, you're going to take some whoopings. And a lot of times guys are used to being the top dog in the room, or at least one of the best in the room. Then they walk in and now all of a sudden everyone's really good and you're going to take some whoopings. And a lot of guys just say, this isn't for me. And they walk away. But especially if you're not scoring a point for 6 months, how do you get through mentally? And what was the mindset that allowed you just to keep going until you started scoring points and becoming successful?
Well, they had high school kids that come in once in a while, so I get a little confidence booster, or they would have like a walk on. This one kid from Florida would come in. But, you know, on the other scholarship kids, I wasn't scoring on. They're beating the crap out of these guys, were already national champs.
Yeah.
You know, Fargo and stuff like that. And I thought, you know, I thought I was hot stuff. You know, I had some friends just talk me off the ledge sometimes too. You know, I remember once the kid that was walked on, a Florida kid, I used to beat him up all the time, and he wrecked me. In one match, we'd have matches every Friday. He wrecked me. I'm in tears. You know, I'm all bloodied up. My nose is all bloodied up. It's cold out in Northern Michigan. I go outside. There's snow everywhere. I'm in my single. I'm crying on the stairs. I'm like, I'm done. And Joe Ussolini and Matt Stangline actually came outside, these guys, and they came and talked to me like, you're not done, Joe. You're the hardest worker. You know, just get back in there. Well, next time I went back in there, we did a grind match. And I scored like 60 points. I didn't let that kid score 1 point. I beat the crap out of him. You know, we had some really good guys in the room. Joe Espinoza at the time was a monster at the senior level. And he just reverse lift me and powerbomb me. I get back up and run, do it. And I just kept remembering, you know, like I just got to keep working hard and I'm going to catch these guys. You know, I was almost being delusional. Just like in high school, I thought I was like, even when I wasn't winning any matches my first year, I'm like, well, my coach said to do X, Y, and Z. And this is where I put the trust in the coach. I said, I'm going to do that. And I'm going to be the best. And then I start like imagining that I was the best wrestler, even if I wasn't. I go into matches against state champs thinking, man, I'm going to wreck this guy. And, you know, and maybe I'd lose, but it'd be close. And then all of a sudden he'd remember me in the next match. I would be able to get the edge on him a little bit. You know, just having a good support system. I did have some friends. They talked me off the ledge. You know, there were a couple times in my career where I almost retired, thinking 2010, I almost retired. I was at the Olympic Training Center living there, and we went to Sweden, to Belarus in Sweden. Belarus first, wrestling this duels, this big, like, dual cup thing. They were giving prize money if the dual team won. Well, the U.S. won two matches out of the whole. We had six duels. We won two matches. I didn't win any. I got ripped apart. We get to Sweden, the tournament, and I'm getting destroyed by their guy that I was beating up at a camp in the U.S. back in November. I'm getting murked. I'm like, man, what is going on? I'm wasting my time. I should be doing other things. If, you know, I'm not doing the right things if I'm getting my butt whooped like this. And Momir at the time, Momir was my coach, and he said, just trust the process. you know, be at peace. He was telling me be at peace all the time in his Serbian accent. And then I went in the Swedish tournament. You know, I ended up winning. I won that three times. I think I had 33 international medals at the senior level, which was a, which was awesome. You know, I just didn't get it done at Worlds or the Olympics. You know, I wish I'd have got one there.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. And then, you know, to hear the perseverance, you know, and again, like you said, having a good support, you know, support system, sometimes people think like, I got to do it all. I got to do it all. I got to do it all. And they're not thinking about all those other people that are around them that pour into them or help them. Cause you absolutely have to have that. It's just critical, but that's a life lesson as well. Right. We have to have that in every area of life.
It's an individual sport, but it's a really a team sport. It's a family. You know, that's the one thing I like about Greco more than any of the styles is it's very it's a small niche. It's a small group and it's very family oriented. You could be mad at the guy. You could be pissed. You know, you could be upset with this guy, but it's like being brothers, you know, brothers. And just like Ivan was like a dad to me, like another father to me, you know, me and him, we get in arguments all the time. But if I ever need anything or Ivan ever needs anything or any of my teammates need anything now, if they called me, I would do it in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
You know? So they didn't have to come and talk to me, those guys, but they did, you know, and, you know, I wouldn't probably have the career that I have now if they didn't, you know, who knows?
Yeah. Now tell me about the Elite Athlete Program. How did you get connected with the Army?
You know, WCAP, actually, the World Class Athlete Program, started recruiting me in 04. And I graduated high school in 02, and I was in the Olympic trials in 2004. That was my first one. I was 19 years old. And then I thought about it, and I was like, oh, it's not the time. And then 4 years later, 2008, they're recruiting me again. Thought about it again. And it wasn't the right, you know, time, you know, things happen for a reason and God does things for a reason. Right. You know, and 2012 comes around, I'm married to Deanna. Used to be Deanna Ricks. Now, you know, obviously she has my last name. She's a former world team member twice, 2nd and 5th in the world in freestyle. And she gets pregnant right before the Olympic trials, we find out. And so she doesn't get to wrestle. And I'm like, man, I got to do something. I was already with a great a sponsor. I was with Sunkiss, and I know they would have took care of me and things like that. But I was like, I got to do something where my family's going to be financially stable and we're going to have insurance, right? Health insurance. That's a big thing, right? You know, because I'm going to have a kid. And when I was number one, the most money I made in a year, because they only give you $1,000 a month, you know, if you're with the USA Wrestling, but you got to be consistent, placing internationally and doing camps. I think the most money I made was 40 grand. In a year for me, you know, and I was like, that's not going to do it, you know? So I was like, I need something with stability. So I called up the WCAP coaches. They had talked to me again, and I ended up joining WCAP. You know, I let Sunkiss know, and they were okay with it too. They understood. And, you know, I've been fortunate to be a part of like so many different programs, like Northern Michigan for 6 years with Yvonne. And then I left and I went to Momir and Steve Frazier at the OTC for 4 years. And then I went to WCAP for my last 3 years of my career with Sean Lewis and Bruce there. And, you know, it was kind of like the icing on the cake, you know, going into that program. And now, like, I'm a retired veteran. You know, I get taken care of, you know, I got healthcare still for my family. And I'm very fortunate to be a part of that program, but I wouldn't have changed it. I wouldn't have went any earlier, even though maybe I'd have got my 20-year retirement or whatever, but I'm happy with how things played out. But great program WCAP is, and they're very family-oriented, and every program I've been has been like that, so it's been awesome.
Yeah, whenever you go into, you know, the world-class athlete program, what are some of the steps? What are some of the things? I'm currently doing a military series here on my podcast, and had a lot of spec ops guys on that are just incredible to speak with. But, you know, there's a lot of coaches and athletes that listen to this. And so maybe people looking at different options or considering. So what does that consist of?
Well, I was fortunate because I already had the credentials, right, to get in. Yeah. They have a credential process where you have to be, you know, a certain level to get in. That doesn't really stop you. Like I have a lot of kids that are young that I coach now, and they're like, well, I want to be in WCAP, you know, eventually. I said, well, we don't have the credentials right now, so why don't we do this? Why don't we join the National Guard, do our 1 week in a month, 2 weeks in the summer, and then train full-time. Train with WCAP full-time, but you're not going to be on active duty orders yet. This way we're working to our credentials, you know. So, and here in Colorado, I mean, they give you almost $14,000 a year for tuition, the National Guard, Plus, you get paid monthly. You're 1 week in a month. You're 2 weeks in the summer. And then you can do ROTC and get paid even more. So I try to push kids that route. The route I took is I went National Guard. They pulled me from National Guard to active duty orders once I finished AIT. And, you know, then I was in. But I had already been on the Olympic team and made two world teams and, you know, had all these. I was already number one in the country. Yeah. But for the young kids, that like these 18-year-old kids out of high school, I mean, that's a better scholarship opportunity than going into just a regular college. You could still go to regular college, do the Army National Guard, right? I picked those guys over the reserves or the or even active duty or, you know, any of the other services, because they can only give you $4,000 a year, you know, and for tuition, when the National Guard gives you four plus, you know, another, you know, almost $10,000.
Yeah.
You know, so there's so many benefits to the National Guard when it comes to the state stuff, but do that. Go to the college you want to go to. Let's say you want to go to Penn State and walk on the team, but they're not, they, you know, you're good enough to get up there, but they can't give you money, you know, for school. You know, they barely give 10%, 20% scholarships because they have some monsters there. Well, the National Guard will pay 14 grand at your school. You can't complain, right? You know, and you're getting paid monthly too. You're getting extra, you know, 300 and something dollars a month in your pocket, if not more, so up to $600 a month. You do ROTC, it's like another 1,000. So that would be the route that I would tell people to do. The hard thing is you can't go directly into WCAP.
Yeah.
We have some talks where we're trying to create like a university program. We're out of high school, we pick up guys and they go into National Guard, they train full-time with WCAP or kind of halftime, and then they train with the university level coach. And then they still are able to hit college opens if they want to do that route. They can definitely go and wrestle at another school if they wanted to, but they can hit college opens if they want to stay in Colorado Springs and train. They can get just trained Greco, or if they're girls, right, they can hit college opens. And then, you know, I put three girls into WCAP this year that are 18, 19 years old, you know. So, but they, you know, I've been very fortunate because they had some credentials before they got up there. They were cadet world team members and Fargo champs. But definitely a great route to take, you know, sets you up for success after wrestling.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's excellent information. You know, that's information, again, a lot of people just kind of think like, hey, I got to go directly to college. I got to get a scholarship from this college, you know, and they don't realize that there are other opportunities out there, and you get to serve your country, you know, which is amazing.
Oh, for sure. And some, I think, you know, and this is just my opinion, that like how it's done overseas is in like Russia, or, I mean, that's probably a hot topic, but like Bulgaria, any of the country overseas, they serve for 2 years after they turn 18, you know. I really think that we should probably be similar to that. I mean, it doesn't mean you have to go to war, you know, you're in there for 2 years, you're serving in the war. It means you're just serving the military so you understand the world a little bit more and you understand the government and how it works. And a lot of those foreign countries, they'll end up wrestling for the military just like how we have it, you know.
Yeah.
But I think we should create something like that, you know, down the road.
Yeah, no, that would be a good idea. And I know, yeah, I would say the majority of the world does something very similar to that. So
teaches you how to grow up real quick too.
Yep. So, yep. All right. So let's talk about, you know, post competition career, you go into coaching. Was there a point where you knew, hey, I think I want to go in to be a coach, or were you looking at other options?
You know, I started coaching, you know, I did like Fargo and stuff and some private coaching, you know, starting like 04. I mean, I remember I was coaching Team Ohio and David Taylor was an eighth grader, you know, in 04. It was wild, you know, to sit there and you know, coach guys like that or be around guys like that, being on that coaching staff with them. And now they're monsters now, which is really cool to see, you know, because you see them as a little kid. But I didn't start club coaching until 2013. We were doing like some private lessons. I had some mats in my basement and we'd do some private lessons, you know, supplement income. And then I had these parents start asking me like, hey, why don't you start a folk style club? You know, start a wrestling club. You know, I'm like, I'm probably not primarily freestyle Greco, but I can do it, you know? And so we started with six kids, my wife and I, in our basement, and created Betterman Elite. And that first year I was traveling, competing everywhere, and she was coaching. It was actually called Joe Betterman Airlines, JBA Elite at first. And she's like, you got to change the name of this club because I'm not going to coach it. And I said, okay. So we made it Betterman Elite. And then we went from six to now we have like 90 in the club. Obviously not out of my basement no more. And we have, we started as an LLC and now we are a 501c3 as of this past year. You know, because we really, I don't even take a paycheck. All the money goes to pay for the bills of the building. We pay $4,000 just for rent a month, plus utilities and all that stuff, you know. And then we actually own three vehicles. I have a charter bus that's 56 passenger. That's for our club. And then we have a school bus, and then we have a van, you know. So we got all these different payments and stuff. But the transition to coaching, I was still competing. And I was like, man, I started coaching, and I started learning from coaching while I was competing, which was really cool. You know, I teaching technique, and I'm like, oh, well, I'm missing that step myself. You know, I'm breaking it down in my mind, but then I'm not breaking it down for myself. I'm like, oh, I got to add that to my tools. And it made me a better wrestler. You know, it's for me, for like Greco, it's like a soft spot. Like, I think we could be the best country in the world again. Like we were in 07 when I was on that world team that won the worlds. But I really feel like at the grassroots, we got to get these kids and coaches more familiar with Greco. And then same with freestyle. I mean, if we want to continue to be dominant, you know, we just got to put the right thought process in these kids' head. It's not about winning when they're 7 years old or 10 years old or even in high school. For me, like, I coach because it's like a savings account. I want to see these kids prosper when they're at the NCAAs or at the Olympic level. Those are the two that I'm coaching for. Yeah. You know, if we reach that high, that's my philosophy. You reach all the way up there and train for that, all these other things are going to fall below. You reach to be a state champ in high school, you might fall short. I would say about 90% of the time, you might end up falling short, you know, and only being a state placer or a state qualifier. But if I reach to be a national champ, then say it's going to happen. If I reach to be an Olympic champ or world champ, whatever age level, right, then all these other things are going to happen below it, you know. So, and that's just the philosophy that I've taken, and it's been really good. Our kids have done really well. We just got back from Kansas City from the high school showcase qualifier, and I had 11 out of 12 qualify, you know, which was awesome. I had, I think, three champs, which was another cool thing, you know. So, but yeah, I love it. It's been awesome to be able to get back to these kids. And then now I see some of them at the senior level, and that's been great as well.
Yeah, I know. One of my college coaches, I remember him saying while we were in college, I wish every college wrestler could have a year off to go coach and then come back and compete. They would be a better wrestler. And I remember I didn't fully understand it at the time. And then once I graduated and I started coaching, it didn't take me long to understand. Like, it came back to my mind, like, oh, I'm a better wrestler now because of that. Yeah. There were definitely things I was missing when I was competing that now I see as a coach. So looking at your club, you know, starting with novice kids, working up through these elite kids, you know, what are some of the things that you guys are trying to teach them? Not as far as technique, but as far as character goes, as far as, you know, work ethic, some of the things that we learn along the way in the sport of wrestling.
Well, the big things I preach is like hard work beats talent, you know, in the long run. You know, I want to teach them good hard work and ethics. I want them to be not only great wrestlers, but I want them to become great people, you know, great young men and women in society. I want them to become a 1% when you think about like at the top tier of society. I want them to say, well, I'm going to train so hard that everything else when in life is going to be easy. Yeah, you know, Dan Gable says that, right? You know, everything else in life is easy after you wrestled. It's the same thing. I want them to train so hard. We might not all be the four-time state champs or whatever it may be, but everyone that leaves my room, if they go and work at whatever job they do, you know, I want them to be the manager eventually. I want them to be the owner. You know, I don't want them to be settling for just being that guy that's getting that, you know, $12 an hour or whatever it is, $13 an hour and stay in there. You know, I just want, you know, the big things that I teach is that you can work your way to the top. Just even if you're born in a certain way, or like, you know, I'm from Chicago, grew up poverty, poor. I can bust my butt and be a business owner one day. And, you know, and that's the type of things that I teach these kids. It's not only about wrestling. Wrestling is the best sport to teach you the hard work and ethics, in my opinion. You know, I've done a lot of sports, but I think wrestling teaches us, you know, not everything's going to go right. And just because on paper you're going to be a state champ doesn't mean it's going to happen, yeah. Right? You know, we still got to continue to be honest and buckle down and work hard when nobody's watching and do the right things.
Yeah, I'm biased being a wrestling guy, but yeah. I think it's absolutely one of the best vehicles to be able to do the things that you're talking about. You know, so – whenever you guys are taking these kids through practice, I don't want to get too technical, because we have a lot of business people, a lot of people outside of the wrestling world that, you know, that listen to this podcast. But, you know, tell me just a real quick, like, you know, strength training wise, actual wrestling wise, what are some of the things that you guys do if we were to look at like a typical week?
So strength training is 3 days a week in the mornings, from like 9 to 10:30, 9 to 11. And then wrestling wise, we're 5 days a week, every afternoon. That's our typical schedule. We plan it out just like you'd plan out a business, right? We work in phases. So like from September all the way to beginning of December is our conditioning phase. So like muscular endurance and things like that. And we do a lot of Bulgarian bag stuff with the Supless equipment. And then from December all the way through the end of March is our strength phase, a lot of weightlifting. And then we drop into our competition phases where we'll, cause we're trying to set up our peaks for world team trials and, a peak for, Fargo, you know? So, I mean, just like with business, you want to peak, you know, during certain times of the year. And so you can financially get, see those gains. And we do it with the same with wrestling, you know, but, technique wise, you know, it's a lot of fundamentals in the beginning. I don't care if you're a four time or three time state champ, you're still going over the shot. Just like if I taught it to a 7 year old, you know, everything's about fundamentals. Cause in my opinion, basics wins matches, you know, being fundamentally sound is going to pay dividends later.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, it's cool to hear the way you have it, the periodization or the way you have it broken down, you know? So, okay. That was just more for me as a wrestling coach and nerd.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, all right. Mindset, you know, it's huge. So let's say you get one of these guys who's a really good athlete, and all of us get nervous. So tell kids, hey, I competed in over 1,000 matches in my life, got nervous every single time, right? But then you have to learn how to deal with those things. So what are some of the mindset things that you go over? You have one of those kids who, like I said, he's just right on the border of being really good. But when he steps out on the mat, he just doesn't quite reach his ability. Like maybe in the room, he's just killing everybody. And then all of a sudden in the match, he's too anxious or whatever. What are a couple things you guys do for mindset?
The biggest thing that I try to preach to the kids is that, you know, practice, train how you want to compete, right? So it's all about what you do in the practice room. When we get to the tournament, the work's been done. You know, there's nothing to be nervous about. I want them to treat tournaments like it's practice, because it really is in the grand scheme of things. If I'm looking at the Olympics, right? Unless it's the Olympics, then it's not practice. If my goal is the Olympics or the NCAAs, unless it's one of those events, then it's not that, you know, then those are all practice. These are the top tier ones. Everything below is practice. So like teaching the little kids or a high school kid, we go to an event and we come up short. That just exposes what we need to work on.
Yeah.
And shows, you know, shows the athlete. I'm like, hey, we made mistakes here, here, and here. Now we know how to fix it. And so we go back in that match, we tighten that shot group and make it better, you know? But the biggest thing I preach all the time in the room is train how you want to compete. If you want to shoot to the leg and barely get a takedown, like kind of, you know, we're doing executions and they don't take them all the way down. Okay. Expect that when we were in a match, because that's how you trained it. But if we're taking them down all the way, making sure we're getting our two, every time we're in a match, we're going to do it. If we're drilling shot reshots and every time Shillman shoots on me and I create an angle and I hit a reshot really quick, I'm going to do it like how I did at practice. I'm going to do it in a match the same way. But I try to put not so much emphasis on the events, you know, even some of the bigger events like Fargo. In the first year at Fargo, you know, you're a freshman. That's like our practice year, where that's like our mulligan, right? You get to see what it's like. Then after that, we start tightening our group up as much as we can so that we can get the final placement that the kids want.
Yeah. No, that's excellent. Cause a lot of times people make any kind of desired outcome or goal that they have, right? Maybe it's Fargo, maybe it's state. They make it so huge in their head. And it's like you said, it's practice, right? It's mat time. I mean, yep. We talk all the time with our athletes, a mat's a mat. Like there's a circle, there's a line, you're going to put your foot on it, shake someone's hand and go wrestle. You do the same thing in the room every day. You know, you can step out there in a real competition, do the same thing, you know, but a lot of times kids get overwhelmed. And of course we all want to win, but then they put pressure on themselves because of that. So it's great to hear a super high level coach and wrestler discuss those things.
Well, and I think wrestling mindset is huge. I used it, but I didn't, when I was competing, like we didn't have this YouTube stuff. Like it wasn't big yet. It was starting to get there and we didn't have, you know, flow where I can go watch matches and stuff like that. You know, it's all memory based and all experience based, but you know, wrestling mindset, it was like, for me, it was like learned, right? You know, you had to you know, I'm fortunate to be one that learned on my own, but then I started reaching out and talking to other people, talking to my senior level guys that were ahead of me, like a Brad Beering or an Adam Wheeler, or any of those guys, those top level, top tier guys, Jermail Byers, and they're giving me information. And I just start putting it in my head, you know, but it's all mentality. Wrestling is 90% mental. It's a true statement, 10% physical. You know, that mental piece, if you can be mentally tough, you can be great, right? You just got to continue to grind and deal with the ups and downs. Wrestling is like a roller coaster. And when you look at it as a grand scheme of like a career, you're going to have your little peaks and valleys, but as long as you're working your way up, that's great. But if you do this and you drop all the way down, because either you're doing the wrong things in your lifestyle, or you're just like, you know, you're playing the woe is me card, then it's going to be hard to get back up, you know? So, you know, for me, between the mindset stuff, and then I'm, you know, I don't go to church every Sunday, but I'm a very religious guy. You know, I believe everything happens for a reason, and God puts little whys in your road all the time to see which way you're going to go. And I think if you take the harder route every time, you're going to have the biggest reward at the end of the, when you're done in life, right? You know? And so, like, you know, when I blew my ACL in 2010, you know, I'm like, oh man, my career, you know, I'm ranked fifth in the world. And I took that approach instead. I went that hard route and I busted my butt. And in 4 months, I was competing at the World Team Trials after surgery, you know, and I took third and I didn't have an offensive point scored on me. It was just that I didn't turn him, he didn't turn me, you know, the old rules. And I lost 1-1, you know, that kind of sucked. But at the end of the day, I came back, and then the next year I was on the world team again, you know, so, and I won the nationals again. But yeah, I mean, I think mindset is 100% the key to wrestling. And I think coaches, if they can't coach that skill, like there's some athletes maybe I can't touch, like I put them in touch with other people that do the mindset stuff. Yeah. With wrestling mindset, that company, I put them in touch with Mike Moore or like Steve Davini. Whoever I can, you know, it's not what you know to, you know. So yeah. If I can talk to you and I'm like, hey, Chad, can you talk to my kid? I've talked to him a million times. Maybe if they hear from you, they, you know, their mindset will change a little bit. And that's happened with a couple of my athletes where I've put them in touch with those guys, and those athletes change their mindset, you know, and they're ranked top in the country right now, which is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing how quick it can change. They have all the physical tools. Yeah, sometimes you need that mental shift. So, well, let's jump over to, you know, you own Betterman Lee. So we have your wrestling club, but then you also own Gold Medal Gear, which is a company that you have, you and your wife, and you guys, you know, you make everything, right? So you just have new wrestling shoes that came out, or they're coming out.
We got some new shoes, the Pilots that just came out. Kind of modeled after the old school shoe, like the old Jordan colors and things like that. But I spent a lot of time designing the grip, which was awesome, you know, for Greco, you know, for me, you know, being a Greco guy. But Gold Medal Gear has been awesome. We started 4 years ago, and it's, you know, we're in our fifth year right now, and sales have been good every year. And I started it originally kind of supplement income, but also to have cheaper apparel for my own wrestlers, you know, taking care of my team. You know, I was sponsored by some of the biggest companies, in the country, in the rest, in the sport. And there's little things that, you know, with nickel and diming, you know, art fees or turnaround times, or maybe you only had two girls on the team, but they wanted a minimum of seven, you know, but you ordered 40 singlets for the boys. You're like, hey, that doesn't make sense. And so we started a company where we don't charge for art. We don't, shipping is free on all team orders, free online store year round, where we don't close the store. You know, we have no minimums. There's no minimums. Most companies have minimums, and our turnaround is 3 weeks or less. We've been very fortunate and very blessed that the company keeps thriving and growing. No social media marketing, which has been, you know, other than I have an assistant, we have a full-time employee now, and she's put some stuff on Instagram and stuff on Facebook sometimes, but nothing where we're doing actually SEO, where we're like, you know, targeting certain audiences and things like that, you know? So it's been really good. Definitely blessed that the company's grown so much. And I think it's because we're an honest company and that we take care of our customers. Not to say the other companies don't, but some of these companies get so big so quick, and, you know, they forget about all the little guys, and things are just moving quick, and they got a lot of overhead and stuff like that. So things get hairy really fast.
You know, as a coach, and sometimes people, you know, they, they see coaches and they just think wrestling, right? They or football or basketball, whatever sport you're doing, they see the product, but they don't see all the behind the scenes. They don't know that I'm doing 3 hours of paperwork every Monday morning and, you know, or a lot of times on Sunday night and things like that. And even team gear is one of those things. And it's a big deal what you were saying, because sometimes I don't need to get 40 things or I don't need to get 80 things. So not having a minimum is huge. The artwork fee. Yeah. Those fees can add up quick. You know, if we're toward the end of the season and I want to be able to get something in, and I know I love to get special things for our team. You know, I know as an athlete, whenever coach got a new set of singlets, or even if it was just a t-shirt, you know, you walk in like, hey, got you guys these t-shirts. Like I was motivated, man. I was pumped. And we're wrestlers, we're weird. Like I would probably ride a bull for a t-shirt, you know, it's like, you know, things like that. But those things are all huge for coaches when they're looking at their programs. And then if you're going to put something out there, and last, it's got to be good product. And then I think like most things, building relationships. And so you guys doing that is huge. So if I know like, hey, I can go to Gold Medal Gear and, you know, these guys actually care about us and care about our program. You don't have to have as much social media marketing. You don't have to have as, because I'm going to be loyal. I'm always going to come back to you guys because of that. So those are good business principles. Those are good human.
It's been awesome. It's been word of mouth, you know, and taking care of the customers. And, you know, our singlets start at $50 and majority of the time I'll discount everything just because I want to help. I understand what it is to be a coach and you're like trying to keep it cheap for your wrestlers or for your program. You know, you only have so much money raised or the school only gives you so much money and you're like, oh, how can I make it work? A lot of times, especially I'm a sucker because coming from inner city and not having much and, you know, the way I grew up, you know, when teams are like, yeah, you know, we, you know, our kids, they don't, we come from a impoverished community. I help these guys out all the time, you know. But it's been good. I'm very fortunate. I'm not trying to be, you know, cajillionaire doing it. You're right. You know, I'm just trying to help teams out and, you know, and be able to, we make a little money, which is, you know, again, I'm retired military, so I get paid from that, but I make some money from the gear company. And then all my Betterment Elite stuff is all nonprofit and we're not on paycheck or payroll. So that just goes straight back into the club. So it's been, you know, definitely been blessed, you know, to be able to have these experiences and grow as a person, as a human, and then grow as our companies are growing. So it's been good.
Yeah, that is a blessing, absolute blessing, and helping programs out like that. I mean, as a company, you want to be able to make a profit and you got to be able to keep going. But I fully get those things. So, well, I kind of have some speedy questions like to do here at the end, but I want you to expound upon these as much as you want. So.
Okay.
The first one is, what's your genius? I believe everybody has guys giving people different gifts and talents and abilities, different geniuses, right? One guy is great at math. Another guy can take your engine apart and put it back together. So for you, and this isn't bragging, I want you to be straight up with me. What do you feel like is your genius?
You know, if I bring it back to like the sport of wrestling, like my genius is being like, being able to break technique down. Like I used to joke when I competed, I was like Chris Benoit, you know, in WWE. I'm like, I'm the man of 1,001 moves or the man in, you know, and that's what I would always say. You know, I'd walk around because I know I love technique and I love learning new technique all the time. And I love just keep adding it to the toolbox. And then, you know, and teaching these kids, or I don't go out there and try to teach all the fancy stuff, but you know, sometimes we do teach something new that's going to work. But I love being able to someone say, hey, coach, I saw this move here. And I'm like, all right, let's break it down. I watch it. And I'm like, all right, boom, got it. You know, and I start teaching the technique instantly. And then I'm able to add to it and change it. You know, I think Flo does they used to do the big move Monday or big move Wednesday or the behind the dirt, you know. And Mike Maul posted one from this Arizona State guy that does like a high crotch, but then he goes to the outside leg. I said, oh, I really like that. And so I'm working with it. I'm teaching kids. We're teaching that. And I'm like, wait, I see something else. And then I go into like a judo throw. You know, I keep that leg up and keep the arm, take that back step in, and I kick them in the hip and do a big throw. And now we call it the shinne. We call it death in Japanese. And so the kids love it. But it was, you know, I think my genius is being able to understand wrestling technically better than a lot, you know, than most. And break it down. I always tell the kids that wrestling is an easy sport. It's all about the details.
Yeah.
You know, learning technique is very easy. You just got to pay attention to details. You know, if you're staring at butterflies on the ceiling, you might not see the detail. as a person, though, you know, my genius, I would say, is just always hustling, I guess, always on the move. You know, like, you know, I'm always able to adapt. Maybe the hustle is not the word, but adapting. I could adapt very fast, you know, adapt under pressure, adapt under fire. So I've been fortunate with both of those skill sets.
Excellent. I'm a technique nerd. So everything you're saying, I love. So yeah, same thing. All right. The next one, I call these the three H's. So I want you to tell me about, and again, you can pick one or you can just give me a little of each, a hero, a hardship, or a highlight in your life. Hero, hardship, highlight.
Hero, hardship, highlight. I guess with the hero portion, you know, I really don't. I guess there's no like big heroes where I would chase one. I always like watching the superheroes and stuff like that, right? You know, that always gets me going. But just seeing people do stuff for other people. You know, I look at those people as heroes. I don't can't pick one specifically, but do it without even with nothing getting back from it. You know, they're not getting anything back from it. The hardship is I grew up a very rough life. You know, my mom was a single mother and she, you know, she had left my dad and she lived a crazy life. She had me when she was 19 years old and was partying and all that stuff. And, you know, growing up with no food in your belly and things like that, you hear these stories or like, you know, your mom trying to get change together so we can get macaroni from Aldi's and stuff like that. My biggest hardship would probably be stuff like that. And, you know, living in motels or going from, you know, being evicted from house to house and things like that. And people don't know that story, maybe because of the lifestyle that I have now, because we're financially stable and things like that. But that would be the biggest hardship is, you know, growing up with a single mother that's doing everything she can. And, putting herself on the line multiple times so that we can eat would be my biggest hardship. And then the last one, what was the last one again?
Highlights. Yeah.
For a wrestling career, I guess the biggest highlight, I was very fortunate to be a part of the world team that won the worlds in 07. And it just happened by default, just because, you know, Joe Warren, you know, previous world champ at the time, he had some issues with USADA and they came back and they said, hey, you're on the world team. And, you know, that was a really cool highlight, but then building my career off of that, was pretty awesome, you know, to build my career off of it and see what hard work can get you. You know, I was in the US Open finals 8 times. So, you know, I guess that's a good highlight of my career. And then having all those international medals is a good highlight, but, you know, I think the biggest highlight in life now for me is my kids and my family. You know, that's on the wrestling side, but my kids and my family are the biggest thing. You know, watching my kids grow and my son's in wrestling and my oldest, he's 9, in jiu-jitsu and Muay Thai, and he's doing all the sports and he loves it. And watch him succeed and fail and be there for all the little pieces of it. And then, you know, watching my wife. If I was going to pick a hero on the family side, it'd probably be my wife, because she does stuff that I couldn't do. Like, I don't understand how these women can do things like they do. And you're like, man, I don't understand. If you're gone for like a couple of days, I'm like losing my mind. You know, she's coaching high school and coaching the middle school. And I'm like, how are you doing this? And then dealing with a family with 4 kids. So, but yeah, I think that's, you know, again, I've had a very blessed lifestyle in life, you know, even with the hard beginnings and the hardships, that only made me tougher.
Yeah.
Maybe gave me the experiences I need to be successful in life.
Sir, absolutely. So, well, where can we, and I'll make sure that I put, I'll link in the show notes, you know, all of your websites. So Gold Medal Gear, Betterman Elite, I'll put those things in there, but where can we follow you or find you on social media?
Facebook, Instagram. I'm not good with the Instagram stuff. I'm better on Facebook. But you know, if you want to look me up personally, you can add me as a friend. If you want to, look up Betterman Elite Wrestling, that's on Facebook. So is Gold Medal Gear. Gold Medal Gear has a website. We're got to clean it up, but we have a lot of team websites we do that are subsidiary off that. And then Betterman Elite, we have BettermanEliteWrestling.com, but we have a new one. I believe it's called BettermanEliteAcademy.com. And that's our nonprofit, our 501c3. And so if you want to go check on that site, and if we have any people that are looking to donate, we'd love to get any donors that we can, and continue to grow the sport as much as we can and get more opportunities to these kids.
Absolutely. So, Joe, man, I appreciate you taking your time to be on here, sharing your wisdom and your story with us. And you know, anybody who is interested in getting your wrestler highly trained, and, you know, we just talked about it. I mean, the mental side, the technical side, and then lifestyle, you know, to become the best human being can be. Joe is one of the best guys I know to get in touch with, whether you live in the area and you can get them there, or let them talk to Joe at some point. It's phenomenal. So again, thank you for being on.
Awesome, Chad. Thank you again. And anytime, we love to have you come out to Colorado Springs. Bring the team out.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right, everybody. This has been another episode of Coach B's Perspective. May God bless you, smile upon you, give you peace. Till next time, we're out. Hey, before you go, I'd like to encourage you to go over to fluxfootwear.com. Flux Footwear. The Flux Adapt is one of my favorite shoes. These things are an everyday wear. You can also wear them in fitness. Very light, stylish, unique. I'm a pretty minimalist shoe kind of guy, and Flux Footwear basically checks off every single box I'm looking for. So go check them out. And if you use the code COACHP10, that is COACHP10, you'll get yourself a 10% discount on the Flux Adapt shoe at fluxfootwear.com.
Podcast complete, now me working overtime. I'm just a vessel for the spirit. When it's in me, then I shine. If the clay gets broken, he makes some whole new pottery. Repent for your sins, tell Satan to stay up off of me. With a new step, CSL rep.